Pray with me, please. Now, Father, as we go into your word, we pray for your Holy Spirit to come and enlighten us and speak to us. Father, let us remove everything out of our minds this morning, not worrying about what we're going to do this afternoon or this week, not worrying about what we're going to eat for lunch, but let us concentrate on you. And help us now, Lord, to understand your will, your way. For it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. Now, if I were to ask you if you've ever had a bad day, I'm sure every one of you would raise your hand. I've had a bad day. But I know someone who has had the worst day ever. The worst day ever in the history of the world. And he struggled to understand why. Why would these things happen to me? Talk about a bad day. Let's look at how bad this day was for our brother Job. In the land of Uz, there lived a man whose name was Job. This man, he feared God and shunned evil. He had seven sons and three daughters, and he owned 7,000 sheep, 3,000 camels, 500 yoke of oxen, and 500 donkeys, and he had a large number of servants. He was the
greatest man among all the people of the east.
Job was a good guy. Loved God, loved people. And God loved Job. God was talking about Job in heaven one day, and he was talking about him like a father would talk about his son that he is proud of. Man, my boy Job, he is awesome, man. He shuns evil. He works hard to do my will. He loves me. And just going on in heaven about Job. And then Satan appears before God. And God asks Satan, where have you been? Satan says, oh, just wandering around the earth, looking for people to deceive and devour. Have you met my boy Job? He's awesome. Satan says he sure is, but he is everything a man would want. Great wife, great family, wealthy, friends. You put a hedge around him. Sure, he's faithful. Why wouldn't he be? But what would happen to Job if all these things were taken away from him? Would he be faithful then? Would he still love you then? Would he still praise you then? Satan says, I don't think so. God said, yeah, he would. My boy Job, he's special. He would still love me. Satan, I tell you what, you can do anything you want to Job, but you can't kill him. Now, you talk about a bad day. You ready? Listen to this. One day, a servant runs up to Job and says, Job, the Sabaeans have attacked us and took all our oxen and our donkeys, and they killed all the help. While he was still speaking, another servant runs up, Job, a fire has burned up all our sheep and all our help. And while he was speaking, another servant runs up. Job, the Chaldeans have attacked us and they've stolen all our camels and they killed all the help. And while he was speaking, another servant runs up and says, Job, your sons and daughters, they were at your oldest son's house and they were celebrating a birthday and a mighty wind came up and knocked down the four corners of the house and the roof fell in and all your children were killed. And one day, Job lost his family and everything he owned. All he had left was his wife. And then his wife starts in on him. Job, what have you done? Just like a wife, isn't it? Ooh, Job, what have you done? What sin have you committed that has caused all this? Of course, it wasn't him or his wife that had sinned. And he says, honey, I've done nothing, just like a good husband would say. Honey, I've done nothing. You had to have done something. No, I haven't. I haven't done anything. Sure you have. You know you have. Confess it. Tell me about it. Spit it out. Look what's happened. Honey, I've done nothing. And then Job's friends come by. Job, what have you done? What sin have you done to cause all this? Come on, confess it. Ask for forgiveness. Job says, I've not done anything. I've not done anything to deserve this. And then Satan takes it one step further and he attacks Job physically. And Job gets these big boils all over his body. Have you ever had a boil? You haven't? Man, they're painful. It even hurts to breathe on them. And he had these sores on him, and they were sore to touch, and he's just miserable. And his wife, she's very supportive. Come on, Job, you're miserable. Why don't you just curse God and die? But Job maintains his innocence. God, I want my day in court. I want to know what I've done. Tell me what I've done to deserve all this. And then, listen to this, and then from chapters 3 through 37, God doesn't say a word. Job cries out, God, what have I done? God doesn't speak. Job's friend continued to batter him. Come on, Job, just confess what you've done, ask for forgiveness, and oh, this will go away. And Job says, I'm innocent. And Job continues, God, I want my day in court. I want you to tell me what I've done to deserve all of this. Have you ever had one of those days when things have happened and God doesn't feel like he's present with you, that you're alone and you talk to God and he doesn't speak? Penny and I had one of those days. We'd just gotten married, been married about 6 months. And I had a job that I loved. My first real job. I was about 20 years old. Got married young. We had a house, mortgage, car, mortgage, house that needed furniture, no money, house that had fleas. We could afford a flea bomb. Not before the night before when we recognized that fleas bite. Had this job that I loved. I was a scheduler. I was good at it. I worked at Jameson Bedding Company, and I would take the orders that would come in, and I would calculate how much square footage these beds, these mattresses and box springs would take up on a trailer. Then I would go to a map of the Southeast, and I would circle the city where that order was to go, and I would write in the amount of square footage that would take up. And then when I got 40 square feet, I would then pull all these orders and release them to the production floor for them to manufacture these things. And then I would line these production orders up when they would load the truck so they would go from the farthest point back to the nearest point so they didn't have to zigzag around. I was good at what I did. And then on top of that, if I had free time, I'd go out on the dock, take my shirt off with the other guys, and I would load mattresses and box springs on the trailers. I was good at what I did. So good, they came up and asked me if I wanted to be promoted and go to a different little section of town or down actually to Franklin. I didn't want to drive to Franklin every day. I said, but before I say no, is it going to affect my current position? Oh, no, we love you. You're good at what you do. 1 week later, they laid me off right before a 2-week shutdown, and that's all I had was 2 weeks. Mortgage, house note, no furniture, new wife, new marriage. I've had one of those days. Didn't feel like God was anywhere close to me. I couldn't figure out what in the world have I done. This is the worst thing that could ever happen to anybody. Get married, got a house, got responsibilities, and you lose your job 6 months into the marriage? It's the worst thing that could ever happen. Guess what? It's the best thing that ever happened to me. The best thing. I'd still be there loading trucks and scheduling probably. I was good at what I did. Why? Lord, what have I done? What's happening? Why would this thing happen to me? Tell me, Lord, I want to know. See, Job was saying, God, I don't deserve this. I want my day in court. I want you to tell me why this is happening to me. So God speaks. And when he speaks, this is what he says. And the Lord spoke to Job out of the storm, and he said, who is this that obscures my plans with words without knowledge? Brace yourself like a man. God is telling Job, put your big boy pants on because we're getting ready to have a conversation you're not going to like. Strap your boots up. Hang on. Brace yourself like a man. I will question you and you shall answer me. And then God says, where were you when I created the earth? Where were you when I spoke and I made something out of nothing? Where were you when I put the clouds in the sky? Where were you when I put the ocean and where it is today and I drew the line on the land where those waves would end? Where were you when I put the stars in the sky? Where were you when I put the sun in the sky? Where were you when I put the orbiting just right so everything would work in perfect harmony? Where were you? And God goes on and on and on and on and on. And at the end, God says, Job, you cannot understand the working of God, for you are not God. You see, God is always present with us. For chapter 3 through 37, God didn't speak to Job, but he was with Job. You see, sometimes we don't think that God is with us because we don't feel him, but he's there. You see, God wants us to have faith, not feelings. It's faith that pleases God. And what situations normally stretch our faith? If you really want your faith to grow, what normally causes your faith to really grow? It's when life falls apart and God is nowhere to be found. That's when your faith really grows. So, how do we handle these situations in life? We can go to God and we can say, God, I want my day in court. If you do, you better put your big boy britches on. We can do that. And we can be like Job. And we can talk to God and ask God why. And there's nothing wrong with that. But let me show you how Job really handled this. And it's at the very beginning, after all this has taken place, this very bad, no good day that he's had. I want you to look at how Job handled this. At this, it means that after all these things happened, that very bad, no good day, Job got up and tore his robe. I would suggest that you not tear your robe. And he shaved his head. Some of you already shave your head, so you're good there. Then he fell to the ground, and what did he do?
In worship.
In worship. And said, naked I came from my mother's womb, and naked I will depart. The Lord gave, and the Lord has taken away. Remember the song we sang? Now you know where the scripture came from for that song. May the name of the Lord what? So what was Job doing in the worst day of his life? What did he do? He worshiped. He praised. And he's not the only one in the Bible that treats those very bad, no good days like that. If you go back and look at Paul and Silas, here you got Paul, who was just a brand new convert. He has seen the resurrected Savior. He's blinded. He goes to Damascus. There the scales fall off of his eyes. He sees the disciples don't believe him, but they finally embrace him. Now he's out preaching the gospel of Jesus Christ when before he was having Christians murdered. Now he's one of them and he's preaching it. And the church, the Jewish church, is upset. The Sanhedrin wants him killed. So they bring up all kinds of charges against him and Silas. The Romans take them. They beat them half to death. They take Paul and Silas, they put them in a jail, in the middle of the jail, in the middle of the night. Do you know what Paul and Silas did? They sang. The jailkeeper's outside the prison, and he hears something. Jesus loves me. This I know. It gets a little closer. What is that? For my Lord has told me so. Little ones to him belong. They are weak, but he is strong. In the middle of the night, as they're singing that song, yes, Jesus loves me. Yes, Jesus loves me. Yes, Jesus loves me. Oh, my Lord, he told me so. As they were singing, an earthquake hit. The jail rocked. The doors open. You see, here's what happens when you worship, when you've got one of those very good, bad, no good days. When you praise God, mighty things happen. When you praise God, when you're down, mighty things happen. Job praised God. Paul and Silas praised God. In bad times, worship is special for you and for God. For what you're saying is, God, I trust you. I trust you. Let's go to God in prayer. Father, we love you so much. And Lord, if we've all had our bad days, I just pray that the next bad day that comes, that we will remember that we live in a broken world. We're going to have bad days where people hurt our feelings, relationships happen, bad things happen at work, bad things happen to our children, we have health issues. But remind us, Lord, the way to handle that is to praise you, is to worship you. Because when we praise and when we worship, mighty things happen. When we praise and when we worship, we're saying, God, we have faith and we're trusting you to get us through. When we worship, the chains that bind us to the negative side of that bad thing are released, and it allows us to see hope for the future, knowing that you are in control. So, Lord, I pray if there's anybody here that's having a very bad, no good day, that today they would worship you. For it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. The altar is open for all that need to come, because you know what? Yes, Jesus loves you. Yes, Jesus loves you. Yes, my Jesus loves you. For the Bible, it tells me so. Won't you stand, please?